If you would, turn in your Bibles. Not to Galatians, although I'm going to tie it in. But turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 1. If ever there was several verses that summarize Paul's teaching on the new covenant and the old covenant, it's Philippians 3. Every time a church celebrates the Lord's Supper, they are celebrating the inauguration of the new covenant. This is a celebration centered in Jesus, whose own death upon the cross inaugurated the new covenant. And in doing so, the old covenant was canceled. In Luke chapter 20, when Jesus was having his last supper, it became the event that Jesus announced the abrogation of Moses' covenant. We've learned a lot of things from Galatians, haven't we? The Mosaic covenant in Galatians, it says, was temporary. It could justify no one. That it actually had a curse. That if you try to keep the old covenant, you can't keep some of it. You have to keep how much of it? And if you don't keep all of it, you're guilty of all of it. Christ, it said, redeemed us from that curse. Moses was a nice guy. But when Jesus said in Luke 22:20, "This is the new covenant in my blood," he was declaring on that last Passover supper, Moses was finished. Jesus' new covenant introduced a new priesthood. We know that from the book of Hebrews, don't we? The book of Hebrews says that those old priests of Moses are what? Bye-bye. Jesus inaugurated the priesthood of Melchizedek that never ends. The new covenant never ends. His intercession never ends because of the new covenant that Jesus inaugurated. And yet, you know, though Jesus pronounced the new covenant in effect and the old covenant gone, and Paul reinforced that in Galatians, a lot of churches sure don't preach the Word of God, do they? You preach the Word of God, you're going to find out that when you celebrate communion, you're celebrating the complete and total removal of Moses. Completely gone. None of it applies. The new covenant applies. And I want to show you Paul's attitude. As a Jewish guy, what was Paul's attitude toward the old covenant when Jesus inaugurated the new? Well, Paul knew the surpassing value of the new covenant under Jesus Christ. So turn to Philippians chapter 3, where Paul celebrates his relationship to the new covenant under Jesus. And some of these things will shock you because the Bible sheds a lot of light on bad teaching. Do you know why there's bad teaching in churches? Because they don't preach the Word of God, verse by verse, line upon line, book by book. And I want you to know, anybody can call themselves a preacher or a pastor. It takes nothing to call yourself that. Anybody can start their own cult. What God's people are called to do is preach the word, Paul says. What's the word? Here it is in the New Testament. So what does the word say about the new covenant in relationship to this old covenant? Well, Paul talks about it. He begins in 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me and is a safeguard to you. Here is what needs to be done in preaching. Repeat, repeat, repeat. You don't need 3 points in a poem, most preachers are doing. You need to repeat the Word of God over and over. So this, what we do this morning, will sound familiar to you. But Paul knows only by teaching and repeating will God's people grasp the privilege of being in the new covenant with Messiah Jesus and how this has abrogated everything about Moses. We found that out in Galatians. Old Testament tribes don't matter, do they? What takes you to be a son and daughter of Abraham? What did Paul say? Faith in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Paul says, if you really are a true Jew, you don't have to be outwardly circumcised. It takes inward rebirth. All of that stuff of Moses is gone. True children of Abraham display the faith of Abraham. And it has nothing to do with the old covenant. What then was the function of the old covenant? It was to prepare a people to bring in the Messiah for the new covenant. And Jesus inaugurated it. And that's why Pastor Dave repeats, it's a safeguard so that God's people are never taught bad things. Just turn on television, all these places, and you'll find bad teaching. Are our people, can our people discern what the Bible says versus what these crazy preachers teach? And I challenge you, if you think I'm wrong, examine the Word of God to find out whether what I teach is what the Word says. And you, I welcome confrontation with it. Confront me. But make sure that you don't confront me over someone's theology. You confront me over what the Word says. Now here's what Paul thought about the old covenant. Verse 2, beware the dogs. Oh my aching back, Paul. What are you talking about? Well, the word dog was used by people of the Mosaic covenant toward anybody that didn't get under Moses. They were considered dogs. But you know what Paul is saying here? Anybody that tries to put new covenant people under the old covenant, here we go. He's not diplomatic, is he? They're the true dogs. That's why you better be careful what you preach. You put God's people who are under the new covenant under the old, and Paul said, beware the dogs who are trying to put you under the old covenant. How do you like that? Man, last week, didn't he really hit when he said, may all those who want circumcision slip with the circumcision what? Knife. Ooh, that's a preacher. It's my kind of preacher. He's saying that the Judaizers that are trying to put you under the law are the dogs. Look, when it comes to the teaching of God's word, we don't mess. Paul said, if I or an angel from heaven preach to you a gospel other than what you received of the new covenant under Jesus Christ, let him be what? Let him be damned. Don't mess with the gospel. That's what we're celebrating this morning, of the new covenant, freedom from the law. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Who were the evil workers? Well, we've seen this in Galatians. The evil workers were those that came into Galatia to a bunch of Gentile churches and told them, if you want to follow the Jewish Messiah, get under Moses. And what did Paul say to that? Let them be damned when they say that. Don't mess with the gospel. Anybody that would put you under the old covenant and tell you that's what you need to do is an evil worker. Beware the false circumcision. Woo! Then there's the true circumcision and there's the false circumcision. Guess what the false circumcision is? Paul says this in Galatians. He says this in Galatians. We haven't gotten there, but I'll read it. You'll be 12 years older, but we'll get there. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Physical circumcision is gone. The only way you become truly circumcised is through the Holy Spirit who causes you to be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the Bible-toting, law-following Pharisee, Nicodemus, Nicodemus, what? You must be what? And the only way the new birth comes is through the new covenant. So the false circumcision are those who taught outward physical circumcision. Paul says this in the Word of God. He says this in chapter 2. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Outwardly means physical. I'm reading Romans 2, 28 and 29. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Physically is what the word means. Neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly by the new birth. And circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. Who's a true Jewish person? Not someone that is physically related to the 12 tribes, but someone who has the faith of Abraham, the faith in Jesus Christ in the new covenant. This is what we're celebrating this morning. Paul doesn't have a good view of people who teach the Mosaic law, for it violates the new covenant. Look what Paul says in verse 3 of Philippians 3:3. For we are the true circumcision. Whoa! Did you just read that? Did you look at that? Who are the we? Christians, followers of the new covenant, are the true. That means this: if you're not in Jesus Christ, you're not under the new covenant, you are not believing in Him, you can be related to any tribe you want, you are not the true circumcision. It is those who are in Christ Jesus under the new covenant, whose circumcision is from the Holy Spirit, not outwardly, but transformed heart, is the true circumcision. You know, we've been taught a lot of bad things. A true child of Abraham isn't one physically. A true Jew isn't one physically. It's inwardly through the new birth. We are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit. How do you get the Spirit? Come on. Through the new covenant. And glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. There it is. Under the old covenant of Moses, they put confidence in the flesh. I'm of this tribe. I do this. I'm circumcised. It's all the outward. Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. It abrogated the old covenant. Now Paul says this: although I myself may have confidence in the flesh, if anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I more. Here we go. And then he starts delineating the old covenant of Moses, which is bye-bye. And how he kept rigidly the law of Moses. Here is what he says. I was circumcised the eighth day. Under the law, the firstborn son came before at the temple and was physically circumcised. Paul says, my family kept the law. Eighth day. Right when it was ordered. Rigid obedience. Of the nation of Israel physically. But who's a true Jew? Who's the son of Abraham? Of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, why would he mention Benjamin? Well, remember, my Wednesday night class will know there were two tribes that stayed faithful to God in the Old Testament and stayed together, Benjamin and Judah, because they were the kingly tribes that the kings came from. So being of the tribe of Benjamin was the next best thing to being the tribe of from the tribe of Judah, because the kings came from those two tribes and they intermarried. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. How do you like that? If ever there was someone kosher, it was Paul. As to the law, a Pharisee. Now, the word Pharisee, I don't know if I've talked about this, but the word Pharisee means the pious separated ones. They were so good, so kept the law, that they wouldn't touch a common person. And I think there's a lot of Christians that act like that. They would go around, and you know who Jesus' enemies were? Come on, who were Jesus' true enemies? The Pharisees, the fundamentalists. Let's remember that. They held to angels and miracles and everything, but they were judging everybody. But the Pharisees were zealous. What his point here is, the Pharisees were zealous to keep the Moses law. So he's saying, if anybody could boast in keeping Moses' law, I could. Eighth day circumcised, the Hebrews of the tribe of Benjamin, a kingly tribe, keeping the law like a Pharisee, zealous for every point of it. As to the zeal, a persecutor of the church. You know what? Pharisees went after the church. They thought they were doing God a service to get rid of the church. They were thinking, you go by the law of Moses, not by this man named Yeshua. As to the righteousness which is found in the law, blameless. Boy, if anybody says, I was a follower of Moses and the Mosaic law, Paul says, I was it. But he's deliberately bragging here this morning because he wants to show you what he thinks of his former life under Moses. Now watch this. Watch how he contrasts this. But whatever things were gained to me, everything that he just told you, were gained to him under Moses. He was one of the leading rabbis of his day. A Judaizer. Get under the law. Get under Moses. And look what he says. All of that that I've just talked about, verse 6, 5, 4, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Loss. He considers that all loss, but it's going to get worse. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing what? And what he's referring to here is Jesus Christ, who inaugurated the new covenant. Knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count all of it before I knew Christ. And then the term that really you think, I love when you look at what Paul said. He told the circumcisers, take and use your knife and cut something off. And people. And he says, anybody that messes with the gospel, he says, let them be what? Yeah. Now watch this word here. He counts everything under the old covenant that he was to be rubbish. What does your translation say? Well, none of these. You know, theologians love to censor the Bible. You know, the Bible is a very frank book. The King James Victorian snottiness. You know how the Victorians were. They were hypocrites because up front they acted really good, but behind closed doors you got to watch those kind of people. That's what it always is. And Victorian, why, we're better than that, cleaned up the word. You all know on my Wednesday night Bible study that when the Philistines stole the ark, it says God smote them with something, and none of your translations really tell you what God smote them with. When the Philistines, I think it's in Judges 5, took the ark and put it before Dagon, their god, you know what God gave the Philistines for doing that? One horrible case of hemorrhoids. I'm giving you gold. That's what the Hebrew term means. And to show you how perverted they were, they made golden images of these hemorrhoids. Now, that would tell you that the Bible is much more frank and open on matters. We're just sometimes really prudish on some things. So the Philistines would have probably cornered the market on Preparation H or something like this. But I want to tell you about this word. I've heard rubbish, I've heard garbage. It doesn't mean that. That's a watered down version of what this word means. The word in Greek is a very terse, earthy term. I'll have to still clean it up by what I tell you. But he said his whole life under Moses, in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ under the new covenant, I count it all. Are you ready? I'm going to clean it up. Dung. D-U-N-G. Now, this means that the surpassing greatness of being under the new covenant in Jesus Christ is so... Remember Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews, do you remember that? How wondrous the new covenant under Christ. Moses was a nice guy, but it's over for Moses. Don't go back there. And if you do retreat to Moses, God's going to judge you for that. Remember that? Hebrews, how many years did we spend, Cheryl, in Hebrews? 3.5, 4 years. He says this, Jesus, under when he inaugurated the new covenant, when I look back under my life under Moses, I consider it, ready? Dung. Now, that doesn't mean that the law of Moses wasn't holy and good, but in comparison to Jesus Christ, there is no comparison. I count it all dung. In order that I may gain Christ. You do not gain Christ under Moses. You gain Christ under the new covenant. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from law. And to a Jew, there was only one law, and that was Moses. You can't get righteousness from the law. We're celebrating the new covenant here. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of what? Faith. Not law. That's what we're celebrating this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ? In comparison, even Moses is dung compared to Jesus Christ and knowing him.